to be taken literally, but it shows the five, the two, and the one. So there's the relationship. And the amount entrusted varied. It wasn't equal. I look at Billy Graham, and I think of him as a five-talent guy. I look at Jerry Falwell, and I think of him as a five-talent guy. I'm amazed that I used to, when Jerry Falwell would come to town, I used to go pick him up, and we'd go right, and we'd go right to a radio station somewhere, and he'd do an interview, and we'd go from there to a television station and do an interview, and we'd go from there to some office somewhere, and the Union Tribune would come and do an article, and then we'd take him to a business luncheon somewhere, and there'd be hundreds of people there, and then we'd go back to another interview later on in the afternoon, then we'd go to church that night, and he'd preach, and I was amazed. This guy was older than I, but man, he had incredible energy. And he had unbelievable, he was the most visionary man that I've personally ever known. I mean, he envisioned Liberty University running 50,000 students someday. He saw that back in the 70s when he created it. He envisioned playing Ivy League schools in sports and actually winning, and he's done that. He envisioned, he was so visionary that he had so much money in life insurance on himself that when he died, it paid off all the property and gave them money to continue to build. I mean, that's this Jerry Falwell. It's incredible. They're five talent people. I said, I think I got maybe, you know, a few little grams of one talent, you know, and it's my responsibility to invest those few grams of one talent. It's your responsibility to invest what God has given. Guess what? God doesn't expect me to sing like Keith Urban. He doesn't expect me to sing like George Beverly Shea. He doesn't expect me to, he doesn't expect that. He hasn't given me that ability and that talent. Maybe he's given it to you, but not to me. So they were given, the amount that was entrusted varied, was not equal, and was different. Then the service in verses 16 and 17. Two of them went out and managed the money well and doubled their, they got a double return, got 100% return. One of them didn't lose anything, but neither did he gain anything. And then we see the shame in verse 18. One was fearful and faithless. Can we be real honest this morning? Do you ever get fearful to do what you know you ought to do? Because I do. I don't like to risk as I get older. When I was younger, it's no big deal. Didn't have that much to risk. I didn't think. And besides, when you're younger, you're immortal, right? Until you break your collarbone, yeah. Then you say, well, glad that's over with. Yeah. So here's the thing. He was fearful, he was faithless, and he took the money. He didn't go out and gamble it. He didn't go out and throw it away. He didn't go out and wild parties and women and booze and all that kind of stuff, but he just buried it. He allowed his talent to lie dormant. So look at the next passage, the next part. The people in verses 19 through 25. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. How many of you are from the South? Let me see your hand. How many understand perfectly well the word reckoned? Okay. Well, I reckon. How many of you from the North? I mean, you don't have a clue what reckon means. Yeah, okay. It means he came to compute or settle up. Came to compute, figure it out, settle up with them. And so he that had five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, you gave unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. Listen to what his Lord said. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou the joy of the Lord. Sounds good. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, you gave unto me two talents. Behold, I've gained two other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, notice this, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The exact, precise, same thing said to the one who invested five and won five, to the one who invested two and won two. You know, sometimes people say God is not fair. I'll tell you what's not fair, life. Life is not fair. It's not fair those 17 kids had their lives ended early. It's not fair that Matthew died in Iraq. It's not fair that you lost your husband on the bridge. It's not fair. Life is not fair. But I'm going to tell you something. God is just. There's a difference. Fairness is in how we perceive things. Justice is what is right in God's eyes. Different talents, same praise for using him for the glory of God. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you that you are a hard man. You are strict. You are a tough boss. Anybody here ever have a tough boss? I mean, really tough boss? Yeah, okay. I think just about everybody has. Reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you've not planted. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth, and lo, here you have what is yours. So in verse 19, the return, the master came and demanded an accounting. Guess what? Our Savior's coming back one day, and he's going to want an accounting for how we've lived our lives, for how we've invested them, for what we've done with the gifts, abilities, and opportunities. And I got to tell you, it's a little frightening to me as Americans sitting here with all of the benefits that we have to know that one day we've got to stand before God and give account of how we handled the liberties, the incredible opportunities, the wealth, the blessings that he gave to us as Americans. So the master came demanding an accounting. One of these days, for you and for me, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we must all appear before the what? The judgment seat of Christ. That's the Bema seat. That's the one that the games, when the Olympic Games were run, they would come before the Bema seat. They would be given their rewards, wreaths and so on, and acknowledgement for having won. And so that term borrowed by the Apostle Paul, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. And I told you a couple weeks ago, bad doesn't mean like evil. Bad means like you did something, but you didn't do it for the right reason, the right purpose. We can do the right thing for the wrong reason. We can decide we're going to pray. We can go out on the street corner, go out on Orange and 10th, and pray and weep and cry out and make a big commotion, and we can pray, and everybody walk by, and they may say things like, wow, is he spiritual, or wow, is she crazy, or what's going on? But Jesus condemns having to be seen of men in our prayers and having to make it known to people when we're fasting. He condemns that. So that's stuff that's good stuff to do, praying, but you do it for the wrong reason, it becomes fallow. That's the word bad. It's fallow. You know what fallow land is? It just lays without producing a crop. You put it like in soil bank, or you just don't plant something and the weeds sprout up. It doesn't have a crop. It's fallow. It's profitless. So we'll receive rewards one day based on whether we used what God gave to us and invested it and multiplied it, or whether we didn't use it and it was fallow. It was wrong, and we just suffer loss of rewards for that. The results for the first two servants: they invested their talents, they were praised, and we too will be judged by the use of our talents. Moreover, 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards or managers that a person be found faithful. The first two were given more responsibility. It was not the portion, but the proportion that was noted and blessed. And those who have been good stewards of their time, material resources, abilities, and all of that, not just talking about a tenth and a tithe, but we've been responsible and invested all that God gave to us, can expect commendation, happiness, eternal life with our God. But beware of verses 24 through 26, the rejection. Perfect love casts out fear. We don't need to be fearful, especially when we're trying to do what's right, when we want to do it. Now, if we're doing wrong, be fearful. I hear people every once in a while, you know, give a testimony. Paul, you've probably heard this. People say, God was calling me, and man, I ran from God for years. What kind of a nutcase are you? Run from God? Where are you going to go? Arizona? Where are you going to go to get away from God? You go in the depths of the oceans, he's there. You go in the highs, you can go to outer space, he's there. You go into the mountains and call for the rocks to cover, he's there. Where are you going to hide from God? I've heard preachers seriously give testimonies about all kinds of loss they went through in their lives because they were running from God. And I want to be like Samuel as a little boy who, when the Lord spoke, Samuel said, "Here I am." And Isaiah said, "Send me." I want to say yes to God. But he was fearful and afraid to do what he's supposed to do. He was paralyzed with anxiety. Someone said paralyzed and galvanized. He wasn't going anywhere. Our mantra for today ought to be this: I am not in crisis, I am in Christ. I was praying this morning for several. I prayed for some of you this morning. And I prayed that, you know, whatsoever we ask, believing, you shall receive. I claim that. And nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. There is nothing. You and I come into situations that'll never work. That'll never happen. And God says, "Oh, yeah? Really? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So when you find yourself in a time of testing, you are not in crisis, you are in Christ. What we do not use for the Lord, we're in danger of losing. By the way, we couldn't do ministry without one talent people. We can't all be Billy Graham. We can't all be Jerry Falwell. We can't all be, I don't know who else to think about. We can't all be five talent, two talent. We got a bunch of, you know, thank God for one talent people who use their talents for the Lord. I'm going to tell you something else. If a person has one talent and uses it for God, how much more effective are they than someone who has five talents and doesn't use them for God? What difference are you and me from an atheist if we don't tell anybody about our faith in Christ? If we have an opportunity somewhere and we don't take advantage of that opportunity and witness to them for the Lord, we may as well be an atheist. We're practical atheists by not sharing our faith, by not being concerned and compassionate toward people's eternal destinies. So thank God for one talent people who use those talents for the glory of God. Remember, one talent equal to 20 years worth of wages. So here's the requisites. Look here. Time. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Concerning time, use time. Boy, it's easy to waste time now. You can just watch TV. You can get on a computer. You can check. You do it too. You go to the restaurant and look around at people, and they're sitting there with a meal between them on their phones. Teach us to number our days. It's easier for me to number my days now than I did back, you know, when I was 20 years old. The number of days coming up is money. Malachi 3, 8 through 10 talks about tithing and giving. So don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. It's not some Baptist that got in there and said, "I'm going to sneak this in here. Thou shalt give the tithe." That was Malachi. He was a Jew. If I don't tell you about it, you get to heaven one day and suffer loss of reward. Say, "How come you didn't tell us about tithing?" If I do tell you about it, that's all we hear, money. Whatever abilities and skills you have, Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you go. Use it for the glory of God now. It's be too late once you pass away, once you're gone. Let's conclude with this, the punishment, verses 26 through 30. Listen, this sounds harsh. This is a parable. It sounds very harsh. It's kind of like the one, the wedding guest, you know, and oh, you didn't wear the right clothes, so I'm going to cast you into outer darkness. It's like, whoa, you know, just from not wearing the right clothes. His Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant, you lazy, slow, tardy, good-for-nothing servant. Holy cow. You knew that I reap where I sowed not. I gather where I have not planted. You should therefore have put my money to the exchangers or the bank, taken to the bank, and then at my coming I would have received my own with usury or interest. Not so much today. Banks don't give you much interest today, like, you know, 1/500th of a point or something weird. Take therefore the talent from him. Hey, take it away from that one talent guy. Give it to him who has 10 talents. That's not fair. It's just. For everyone that has shall be given, and he that has abundance, but from him that hath not, it shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see the laziness, and the Bible tells us clearly as Christians in Romans 12:11 not to be slothful or lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So it's one talent's taken away from him. I'm telling you, you don't use it, you lose it. You keep that arm in a cast for 6 weeks, the muscles are diminished. You don't exercise that arm, when you get the cast off, you will lose the ability to use that arm. The loss, the lesson, God's judgment comes to all. Because Hebrews 9:27 still says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, I read earlier, we all, as Christians, will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But listen to this in Revelation 20, verse 11. This is the unsaved. Everybody's going to be judged one day based on their relationship to Christ. And in Revelation 20, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every person according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, there's a reason to be fearful and afraid. If you don't know Christ, judgment before a holy God. By the way, for Christians, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we talked about we all receive blessing, rewards based on what we've done. I heard a preacher one time said, one of these days we're going to get to heaven, bless God, and they're going to show a film strip. That's back in the day. Going to have a 16-millimeter film strip, and they're going to show your life and all the things you did. And I'm going like, no, no. They're going to show both times I sinned. No, no. That was three times now, right there. You know what I believe about that? I believe when God forgives us, we are justified in God's sight, we have no more sin, and we get to heaven, we're not going to have to face that film strip or that DVD or that Blu-ray. It's gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. However, I believe we will wish that we had prayed more. We will wish that we had witnessed more for Christ. We will wish that we had served him better on earth. Good stewardship of little things brings greater privilege and responsibility. Poor stewardship leads to losing what we have. So use them or lose them. This parable ought to teach us three things. Love his return. Look forward to his return, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus, and labor until he returns. He said, preacher, I'm tired. Yeah, I know. We were gone all week. We were in Texas. We were at a preacher's meeting, and got to see some friends and got to just have a big time. It rained. We got there, it was like 65 degrees. Within 2 days, it was down to in the 30s. It rained one day, 8 inches of rain. One day, that's like our annual rainfall here. It rained that in one day. It rained two or three other days besides, three or four. They said they hadn't seen the sun in 30 days. I told them, I know it's still there because I just saw it in California. But last night, what time did we go to bed? 9 o'clock. I'm turning into my dad. I've turned into my dad. 9 o'clock. Because I get tired. But you know what? As long as God can give me a little sleep and a little rest and a little recuperation and get me back in the saddle again, I want to keep going. You know, I resigned from a church 3 years ago, and I stayed that way for 3 months, and I couldn't handle it. It's like, are you kidding me? By Tuesday every week, I felt backslidden. It's like I didn't preach Sunday morning. I didn't preach Sunday night. Monday, what do you want to do? Watch Judge Judy? You know, I don't know. Love his return. Look forward to his return and labor until he returns. Use what you've got. Use what God's given you. Would you bow your heads, please? Every head bowed. What gifts? I ask you what I asked these kids a few minutes ago. What gifts has God given you? What gifts, what skills, what abilities, what resources, what opportunities has God given you? And as you identify some things, there's nothing prideful about it. I mean, the gifts that God, they come from him. They're not, we wouldn't have anything if it weren't for him. So just acknowledge, you know what? I think God has given me the opportunity. I have mercy. I have the gift of mercy. I have the gift of giving. I have the gift of preaching. I have the gift of singing. I have the gift of whatever it is. What is it God has given you? And the second question is this. The corollary to that is this. Are you using that gift or those gifts for the glory of God? If you're not, what's your excuse? And if you're not, will you? Oh, God, you've placed each person here in this service this morning for your own purpose, for your own reason. And it may be that some of us need to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the most important reason of all. And I pray today would be a day when they would turn their lives over to you completely. They'd turn their eternities over, their futures over to you completely. That they would accept and believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord, their Savior, their God who died for them on the cross and paid the price for their sins and will give them everlasting life. Lord, it could be this message was geared to somebody in particular who has a great gift and they're not using it for you. I pray that you'd get a hold of their heart this morning. I pray, God, you would show them how important it is to use it or lose it. And that we'll all give an account one day. God, help us to be faithful.